And this morning we're going to take a kind of a jump back, though. We're going to jump back to the Gospel of Luke. So go to Luke chapter 17 this morning. We're going to take a look at a portion of Scripture there that's on my heart. Luke chapter 17. We count it a privilege to give you a Bible if you need one. Please just raise your hand. We'll pass it over to you. You'll want one to study with. If you're just borrowing it, drop it off on the way out. But if you need to keep, it's all yours, of course. No charge for it. They also have pencils. They also have pencils for keeping notes. Always encourage that. But for all of us, let's go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. And we're going to start at verse 11. Luke 17, 11. Now it happened as he here is Jesus. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Well-known passage of Scripture, of course. And yet, as always, therein lies the danger when we approach a passage like this. Because so many of us have heard it many times, we can kind of think, well, what's new in this? And if we're not careful, we can kind of begin to tune out and think about later on in the day or something. Let's make sure we don't fall prey to that. But instead, let's let God speak to us in a fresh and new way in this awesome, challenging portion of Scripture. On this Thanksgiving weekend, I'm drawn to consider this interaction that Jesus has with these 10 lepers. Here we have God incarnate, God who has now become man, walking this earth. Here we have God incarnate passing by. He gets to the edge of this village and he encounters 10 men. 10 men desperately needing his help. What happens? We hear a word spoken. A healing work occurs. But then come the responses, and that's much of what this passage is about, of course. It's about their responses to what God did in their lives. 10 men touched by God, but only one giving God glory for it. Look at verses 17 and 18 again. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? This morning, what do you think Jesus sounded like when he said that? Remember, this is God incarnate. It doesn't take him by surprise. He knows what's going to happen here. And so I don't think it's with a word of surprise. Oh, I can't believe it. I don't hear his anger. Where are they? I'm going to get them. But for me, I do hear it tinged with a sense of sadness. Weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? Is there only one who will take time to give God glory? Is there only one who will respond to what God has done for them by giving thanks? But he did find the one. He found one in 10. And what's awesome is that one found out there was a whole lot more that God had for him. I've called our time together this morning, Thankfulness is a Choice. Let's pray. Father, as we bow our heads, even right now, as we bow our hearts, Lord, help us. We confess we can be so distracted. And we do get our eyes on the material, the temporal, so much. And think about our day in terms of its things. But Lord, help us right now just to cast all that on you and gain your take on things. Lord, as we've gathered right now, you see our hearts. You know to what degree we're really thankful or not, to what degree we really praise and worship you or not. Help us, Lord. Help us gain from this time, not just in your word, but this time with you, that you would have us to get from this, Lord. I guess saying, Lord, search our hearts. And if it need be, Lord, change us from this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's work our way through it and see what the Lord would say to us in this passage. Verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. So the story opens with Jesus making his way to Jerusalem. He, of course, is making his way there for those events that are going to be occurring there in Jerusalem. Such awesome, changing events. Well, he's making his way through this particular region, and he comes to this village, and as he gets ready to enter the village, he's on the outskirts there. It says he encounters 10 men who stood afar off. So here is Jesus traveling along, met by these 10 lepers. Now, leprosy was one of the most dreaded diseases of the ancient world. At that time, no known cure. Horrible in terms of what it would do to the body and all the effects that it would have upon it. But not only was the disease itself horrible, but it caused that person to be segregated. They had to be isolated from family and friends and all. A leper could not go about his usual routine. He had to be outside the village. Oh, he could hang out with other lepers, but that was it. No more going to the synagogue. No more doing what we did Thursday, sitting down to a meal with your family. No more hanging around the marketplace and talking to the people and all. All that's gone now. And as far as I know, gone for good. Just a future of isolation, or maybe just hanging out with a few other people with the same disease. And it says that they were afar off, and that's because they were required to announce. They had to stand afar off, and they were even required to announce to anybody coming towards them. They had to yell out, unclean, unclean. And so they had to announce to people, in other words, don't come near me. And people would avoid them. Think of it. No more touch. No more hug from your mate, your children. Think about it. And so you had to even go around announcing that. I'm alone. I am isolated from all that I used to know and take for granted. So here they are. And they face just this life of being an outcast and suffering. Now, as these 10 cry out, we need to picture that scene. Verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Make sure you hear the desperation. They are desperate men. Their request is no small thing. Please, Jesus, do for me what I can't do for myself. They had no way they could bring healing into their own lives. They couldn't be good enough to heal themselves or something. If something's not done by Jesus, they have no hope. So they're crying out, oh, if they could just be healed. If they could just rejoin their family, their friend, be whole again, have the use of their limbs and all, just like it was before. Their whole earthly future would be different if they could just be touched and healed by the Lord. So, make sure you see the scene here. Here they stand. They are outcast. They are in very rough circumstances. If something's not done for them, they can't do it themselves. It's a picture of us, isn't it? That's the idea here. The leprosy represents the sin that infects every single person. And because of that spiritual disease of sin that we're all born with, we all had, because of it, we were outcast. We were outcast from heaven. We had in our lives that which God could not allow to be there if we're going to fellowship with Him and spend eternity with Him. And we were dead in our trespasses and sins, the Bible says. And unless something was done for us from the outside in, there was nothing we could do. Being good enough wasn't going to cleanse us and forgive us. It was something God was going to have to do. So we are just like them in terms of where we were in terms of heaven and all. I mean, just how lost were we? We were totally lost. And so we had to come to that place where we also cried out, Lord, save me. Heal me of that which infects me. Verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Notice, it doesn't matter to Jesus what society thought of these men. It doesn't matter to him whether they are Jews or Samaritans. It doesn't matter whether they are lepers or not. He interacts with them and he ministers to them. Same for us. He looks at us. It doesn't matter to him what nationality we are. It doesn't matter to him whether we are well off financially or totally broke. It doesn't matter how cute you are. None of those things. He brushes out of sight. He looks right on the heart and he values every one of us. Well, it says here, he says, go. Now, we don't read they debate with him. Well, God, you better show me some signs or something. No, they go. And as they went, they were cleansed. To tell them to go to the priest was indeed in accordance with the law of the Old Testament in which they had to go and make sure that indeed a healing had occurred before they could go back with their family and all. But imagine the scene. Imagine what it would have been like for them. I mean, they knew they had it, and they were separate. But now they start to walk, and at some point here, can't you just see them? Look at my hands. Look at your feet. Look out, look at the color's coming back now. It's cleansed of all that stuff, and it's healthy and pink and all. Think of how excited they would have been. The hugs they might have begun to exchange. The tears of joy that might have come. Picture the scene. Everything changed for them right then. Let me ask you something. Just how excited should a saved person be? But alas, we get used to it. You know, we don't see a year down the road, 10 years down the road from these lepers here, like, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh, if we could stay right in that freshness of the work. How excited should a saved person be? How much should we be pointing to what God has done in and for us? How much do we do that? That's the challenge before us. Answered prayer is an awesome thing. To cry out to God and have Him move, touch, heal, direct, whatever particular. To experience God's work in our lives. To see His provision and His care for us. Well, it helps us understand what this one leper does next. Let's look at it. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So what is this one that the Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews? But he's the one that comes back. And what is his response here? He comes back and does what? It says he glorifies God. How? With a loud voice. He put voice to his thanks. He didn't keep it a secret. He didn't say, well, I have the intention. It's in my heart. God knows it. No, he made a point to demonstrate it. A thankful person acts upon their thankfulness. And he came back and with a loud voice. He didn't come back, kind of look around, make sure nobody's looking and say, by the way, thank you, Lord. Don't get too excited now. That was kind of cool, Lord. Thanks. No, he comes back and he just with a loud voice begins to praise God, worship Him, glorify Him, thank Him. He fell down at Jesus' feet. He worshiped. He let his thanks cause him to go deeper. Caused him to come back and get at the Lord's feet, to fellowship, to worship. Again, not just a verbal thanks, but a heartfelt thanks. because Jesus knows the heart. So here we have these worshipful thanks. Now verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? See, this is where the others blew it. When they asked Jesus, have mercy on us, he didn't say, get out of here, don't bug me. No, they were right on for going to the only one who could do for them what they needed done. Just as he won't cast you out. Whoever comes to him, he will no wise cast out. What an awesome thing that is. No, they didn't blow it there. This is where they blew it. They were so quick to ask, but they forgot to thank. Where are the 9? God incarnate has to say that. Weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? I want us to see something here. I want us to see the value that Jesus places upon someone worshiping. Upon this one giving thanks, praising, worshiping, giving glory to God. Jesus valued this one's praise. It meant something to him. Worship, thanksgiving, praise from one healed leper. Worship, thanksgiving, praise from one saved soul matters. Worship, thanksgiving, praise from you and me matters. He notices that. Oh, come on. I mean, there's thousands of people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, God. There's millions of people. What could 1, what could 9 really matter to you? Everything. He noticed every single one's response. Commending the one, but pointing out how much he missed the other 9. It matters to God what we do about what he's done for us. The glad outpouring of a grateful heart was valued and acceptable by Jesus. But he indeed did miss the other 9. And he misses our praise. And he misses our worship. And he misses our thanksgiving. Just for a moment, think about when we gather together like this on a Sunday morning for our worship time together. When we gather for worship like this, are you like the 1 or are you like the 9? Don't answer out loud, but do you come to the 10:45 service? Remember, it's supposed to start at 10:30. Too many of us think of the worship as, oh, they're singing. I can show up late. I got a half an hour about, till today, we kind of tricked you today. Oh, I got a half an hour to make it in there. Now, I understand sometimes we run late, cars don't start, the kids are particularly a hassle that morning. But in general, are you someone who thinks worship is just an add-on? It's optional? Then you're missing out. Now, in love, hear this out, but see, I don't stand up here. I guess I could turn around and watch everybody and see how you're worshiping. Anybody? You know what I do find interesting? I'll be up front with you. When Kathy and I will sit down sometimes, it's like, where is everybody? Then when after half an hour I stand up and I go, whoa, there they are. That tells me a bunch of you chose to come in after we got started. Oh, I just ran late. It happens. But if you're someone who thinks it's optional, how is that different than the 9? How's that different than the 9? Do we understand what worship is? What thanksgiving and praise is? And how much he values it? Huh. And it says, how did he do it? How did this one do it? With a loud voice. Okay, let's say we're here. But then they start to worship, and I don't know. But sometimes it's, I don't sing. I mean, how do you explain to God how you don't worship Him? What reason do we bring out for that? He'd go, oh, that's okay for you. Plus, I have found it's in that worship time. He already is ministering to me. He's touching me, preparing me, speaking to me. I mean, I know I've been to many a thing where, man, after the worship was over, I can almost say, God, enough. Okay, we stop right here if you choose to. He's already speaking and touching. See, it's for us. As we worship Him and get our eyes on Him and who He is and who we belong to, don't cut that short. And sing out loud. He says He gave loud. Okay, I'll worship. Praise the Lord. Someone might hear me. It's okay. What we should be worried about is if He hears you, meaning loud enough. Oh, He hears your heart. You know what I mean? But get out there and sing it. God, I'm going to express it to you with heart and mouth. Sing it out. That's the idea here. But so just notice, Jesus notices who thanks, who praises, and He notices who doesn't. And He's sad because He knows you're missing out. He knows we're missing out when we choose to do that. See, He valued a Samaritan, a simple Samaritan leper's thankfulness and praise meant a whole lot. And your praise. You know, doesn't matter what you look like, what kind of car you drive, what your income level is. Well, who am I? I'm not the pastor. It matters. It matters. He values that from you. But He also notices who doesn't. And what? He missed the other nine. He missed that they would do that. He missed time with them. He missed their response to His work. And He misses you and me if we don't take time for that. Verse 19. And He said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now that's an interesting thing. Turns out God had more for this man. God had more to say. And the thankful one got to hear it. Whereas the ungrateful ones didn't get to hear it. The thankful heart will hear, get to be a part of, discover blessings that the ungrateful heart never will. That's just how it works. Jesus had more to say to this one who gave thanks. Stopping to give thanks set him up to hear more. The word translated in our New King James here, made you well. Your faith has made you well. It's translated in the King James as made you whole. It is translated in the Young's literal translation as has saved you. And that's an interesting point because of the 110 times that this Greek word is translated in the King James Version, of the 110 times, 93 times it's translated saved. Because of that, I found as studying this that many commentators point out and agree that the language here means, at least has a good potential to mean, that although the 10 were healed physically, only the one was healed spiritually. Now, it doesn't mean he was saved by giving thanks. Remember, it says your faith. We're saved by faith in what Christ has done on the cross. His faith has saved him, but his thanks shows that he had, that he got it, that he was. We don't know about the other nine. It doesn't really say that here. Maybe they all were touched spiritually, but this one got to hear more. He got to hear words of reassurance. He got to hear words of fellowship, and he basically got to kind of hear, if you want to paraphrase it, well done. You've come back to glorify God. You are tracking good. There was so much more for this one who came back. So we can say this, God indeed had more and has more for the thankful one. The nine rushed off, received what God had, but missed out on the more that God had for them. A commentator named Roy Lesson said this, interesting thought, I want to study it before us this morning. Quote, thankfulness is not something God gives us. It is not a spiritual gift, and it is not a spiritual fruit. We can receive God's peace, joy, and love. But thankfulness is something that we give to God and to others. It is a choice that we make. End quote. What an interesting thing. Think about it. Thankfulness is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a spiritual gift. Remember, we're taught that God gives that spiritual fruit, fruits of the Spirit, as we abide in Him, live in Him, walk with the Lord. He imparts to us love, peace, joy. But thankfulness is a choice of the will. It's something we have the calling to do and the choice to do. The ball's in our court on that one. Thankfulness is a choice. It's a response to an awareness of God's goodness and His blessings to us. God didn't make the other nine give thanks. God didn't say, come over here. Now get on your knees. Now get to it. I want to hear at least half an hour of praise from you. No. He let them go. But sad to see it happen. Missed it for what it meant to them. What they were missing out on. But he doesn't make them. It was up to them. But he did commend the one who chose to. And he missed the ones who didn't. So, the thankful heart discovers blessings and benefits that the ungrateful heart never will. The thankful man heard and experienced things the other guys missed out on because they didn't give thanks. So this morning, please remember these two things. Thanksgiving is a choice that you make as a free moral agent, as a free will God has given you. You can be like the one or you can be like the nine. It's your choice. To thank Him, to worship Him, to glorify Him, to praise Him, your choice. But secondly, remember this, He sees, He notices, He knows the one, but He knew the nine. He rejoiced over the one, but He missed the nine. Sad for them, for what they were missing out on. We are the lepers, spiritually speaking. We are the ones who had a sin, a spiritual sickness. We had sin. And again, if something wasn't done, we would have been lost forever. But for each one who receives what Jesus did on the cross, I say go to church. I say give your money. I said who receives what Jesus did on the cross for you personally. We are the healed ones. We are the healed ones. You can get excited anytime you want. But think about it. Think about the change. Don't get used to it, but really think about it. Think of the change here. We had this disease worse than leprosy. We were dead spiritually because of it. And now we sit here as the healed ones. Do we have any less reason to give thanks than this one did? He was healed of his body for this life's journey. We're healed spiritually for all time. But now, will we be found as the one or the nine? When we gather to worship, yes. But all through our days and all that we do and all that we go through, will we be like the one thanking God day by day, constantly? Or are we going to be like the nine? I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. As they come up, I want you to consider something. The psalmist said in Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13, the psalmist says, what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What can I give to God? What can I render to God, it says, for his benefits towards me? What's he looking for? What God wants is the one thing that he gave us to decide about. The one thing he won't make happen. The one thing he lets you choose, and that is your heart. Your life. Whether you hang on to it and lose it, or give it to him and find it. That's the call. How does God want us to respond to his love and goodness? It says that his goodness leads us to repentance. You must receive Jesus as your personal Savior if you're going to ever see heaven and know his fellowship today to be healed of the leprosy of sin. If you haven't done it, as we wrap it up, go to the prayer room, find a prayer partner and tell them you need to do that. But have you done it? Awesome. If you've done that, then you're saved. But the point of the text is, what's our response? Will we be like the one or the nine? And see, this is each day, every day. It's not just this last Thursday. But this is something that should mark our lives every day of the year. So the call is this. Have you been touched? You've been saved? You've been healed of that which he's healed us of? Then let's live as thankful people. Say thanks, be thanks. Let's be thankful people who praise and glorify him because he has saved us. Let's pray. Father, Lord, it's a remarkable thing really to think that only one came back. Yet, Lord, you see us, and I pray you speak to our hearts, convict us if necessary, Lord. Lord, are we ungrateful? Do we go grumbling through our days? Lord, help us. Help us, remind us, help us daily just to be in that place, Lord, where we choose to offer you the thanksgiving that you're worthy of, to give you the praise, the worship that you're worthy of. Help us to glorify you, Lord, in everything, simply because of who you are and what we've found in you. So, Lord, now and every day, help us. Help us remember thankfulness is a choice. In Jesus' name, amen.
You shed, and for the cross where you bled, is what I'm thankful for. And for the pride.